you turn to the Word of God, Acts chapter 1, not sure where we're going to end up, but we'll start here and see where the Lord leads us today. Jesus had risen from the dead. The beginning of the book of Acts is really the story after the resurrection of Jesus. And he'd risen from the dead, and he appeared to his disciples and taught them for 40 days about the kingdom of God. Now, they must have been awesome times. The resurrected body of Jesus. And we know that Jesus' resurrected body was different to the original human body that he had, because he could pass through walls. So it's a kind of like a spiritual body. But he wasn't yet ascended to the Father's right hand. And he was spending kind of these last few days, having been raised from the dead after the cross, 3 days after the cross, he was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit. And he's speaking to his disciples, and he gives them this command while he was eating with them. And so in his resurrected body, he could eat. And by the way, Some spiritual things, you can't, your head can't grasp them all, but your spirit can. And so, you know, there he is in his resurrected body. He's having a meal with his disciples. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus had already taught about the Holy Spirit. We can read about those teachings in the book of John and the Gospel of John. And having taught about the Holy Spirit, he was saying to them, wait in Jerusalem, go back into the city, which was only about just over half a mile's walk. They call it a Sabbath's walk because that's all you could do on a Sabbath, a little walk. It wasn't a hike up a mountain, it was just a little walk back to Jerusalem. And we know they went up to the upper room where they had been staying. And Jesus actually defined the time by a few days. After a few days, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I can imagine being one of those disciples, having Jesus resurrected with me, and hearing him saying, after a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, thinking, well, I don't need anything more than you, Jesus. Because I've got you, I believe in you, and you're here. But we know that as we read on in Acts chapter 1, in verse 9, after this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. I mean, that would have been fun. This is before all your media ability to show things that are kind of, wow, we live in a world where so much imagery is kind of like, you know, these kind of, I would say, almost supernatural kind of things. And Jesus was taken up from their sight up into a cloud. And love this, verse 10, they were looking intently. And I can imagine I'd have been looking up in the sky going, where'd he go? Where's he gone? Because you'd seen him actually begin the journey to heaven. And they're looking intently into the sky. And then God had to actually send an angel, because God didn't want them to be looking for Jesus at that moment. He wanted them to go back to Jerusalem and receive the Holy Spirit. And isn't it important? We're not always looking up like this. Although we're worshippers of God in spirit and in truth, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Son of God. But isn't it important to listen to these words of Jesus? That he is going to send another just like him, called the Holy Spirit, who is God, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says this word, you will be baptized. Now we understand Christian baptism, that once you are born again, you've received and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and confessed him your Lord and Savior. Scripture tells that everyone who is born again and is a believer and follower of Jesus to be baptized in water. It's one of the commands that we're given as the Church of Jesus Christ. And we understand baptism to be not a sprinkle. Thought I'd say that. It's not a splash. Because to be baptized means to be immersed in water. And so therefore, when you're baptized, you're completely immersed in water and brought back up out of that water, weren't you, when you were baptized in water? Now, when Jesus was speaking about the Holy Spirit, he was using the terminology baptized because he wanted them to be associating baptism in the Spirit, not to be a drop or a puddle. And I think sometimes as God's people, we kind of play around in a puddle. Like children in their wellies after it's rained. Oh, look, there's a bit of water here. And Jesus had no intention for us to see a little bit of the Holy Spirit at work. He wanted his church to be totally immersed and filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And so he said, in a few days, another just like me is coming. That's why you don't have to fear the Holy Spirit. Even though he does different things, actually, in the New Testament, he always glorifies Jesus. We didn't see tongues before the Spirit came. The gift of tongues. It was after they were baptized in the Spirit, all began to speak in other tongues. And so there were these manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is what Jesus manifested in his ministry. He went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And he did it because he was a man baptized in the Spirit. We know he was the Son of God, but he humbled himself and took on the form of a man. The Word became flesh. And the Holy Spirit filled him. And he operated in the power of the gifts and the abilities of the Holy Spirit all the way through his ministry. He acted as a man filled with the Spirit. And so when Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit coming, he is saying, I want him to so fill you that all you've got is God. Yes. You're so full of God that actually you'll be just like I was as I walked through Israel. Yeah? And I think what we read about in Acts, it's amazing because they obeyed what Jesus said and they went to Jerusalem. They walked back to this upper room. And it says there were all the disciples, the followers of Jesus, and there were a lot of women there, the Mary, mother of Jesus, with his brothers. And they, in verse 14, it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer. And these guys knew that because Jesus had said that he would send another, that was the one they wanted to receive. And they knew that that was God's will for them. And so they prayed constantly in that upper room. There were probably about 120 of them. And prepared for a few days for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Now these are believers, followers of Jesus. But they are preparing in prayer for the arrival of God. But not God on the outside, but God filling their bodies, their spirits, their souls. Now we know that when the Spirit comes, when we believe in Jesus, he puts his Spirit within us. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will dwell within you. And he will be like a spring welling up to eternal life from within. So when you're born again, you already have the Holy Spirit in you. But that doesn't mean you're immersed. So full of God that every part of your being and mine is so taken over by God himself that it becomes a completely different Christian life. And I think we've got to go back to the original intention of Jesus for his church if we're going to get the same results. We've got to go back to the life of the Holy Spirit so that we get the fruit of the early church. Because we can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. And so we see here, these guys are praying, doing what Jesus said. And when he came in Acts 2, we read, verse 4, all of them were filled. 120, so you didn't have to be one of the special, well, there were 11 left at this point because Judas had betrayed Jesus. All of them. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Speaking in tongues. They were all filled, immersed, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if you're anywhere on this journey as I've begun a kind of a fresh start this year in really wanting a measure of the Spirit I haven't yet seen. Now, I know the Holy Spirit lives in me, and in a sense, he has come. But I haven't yet seen the fruit of what I read in Acts. Have you? And if anything, I want to stir you up today to want to be fully, fully immersed in God. And only he can do that. But he works with desire. And he works when his people pray. And I believe that this early group of devoted followers of Jesus who were obeying Jesus, and I actually believe that just that they did what Jesus asked them to do is one of the keys to being immersed in the Holy Spirit. Because they weren't doing their own thing, they were doing what Jesus has said to do. And in Acts 5 we read that the Holy Spirit is given to all who obey him. And obedience is such an important thing to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. To do whatever he says to do, whatever the word of God, whatever Jesus says to do, the Holy Spirit will then enable, empower, fill. And these guys basically were the first disciples who welcomed the Holy Spirit into their lives to do what he wanted to do with their lives. If you could say, I had this word running around my head this week. They hosted God. You know when you've got somebody coming around to your house, you're hosting somebody, aren't you? And you kind of like prepare, you get ready, and I believe that's kind of what the early church were doing. They were getting ready to host God. But God doesn't dwell in temples made of brick and nice buildings and light shows. He dwells in people. That's the body of Christ. We are people that God dwells within us. And his life in us is the, we are to be the host of the Holy Spirit. To host him. Now some of us just shut off certain rooms in our house. Well, we don't want to go. You to go in there, it's a bit messy. Have you ever had a visitor? Ooh, that man drawer. which is absolutely full of screwdrivers, old bank cards, you know, we've all heard about the man drawer. And we've heard about the glory hole. When you go into the glory hole, you go, glory, that's a mess, shut the door. I've got one of those glory holes. And it's almost like within our lives, and this I would speak about myself too in this, there must be certain areas in me, if you think of me as a house, because I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what Scripture says. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, the dwelling place of God on earth. I might have one or two rooms shut off. Or in such a mess that I don't want God in there. And I believe God wants to do something in all of us that will completely change us. Because wherever God is, He is transforming. And He wants to be in every room of me. He wants to be in my mind. He wants to be in my emotions. He wants to be in my will. He wants to be in my body and be leading me and moving me to do certain things. And in my life, I have experienced baptism in the Spirit. I've experienced amazing things in God personally. But I haven't yet, and I don't believe while we're on this earth, any of us can get to the end of the immensity of God. And so what you've got, great. But it's not yet the fullness. And we've been singing your Spirit without measure. He longs to give His Spirit without measure. Because that's His will. He wants to baptize you. Immerse you in the Holy. It's His will. It is written there that that's God's will for each and every one of us. And if we are, we will see the same fruit. And I know your Spirit longs for that. You long to be used by God like that in the book of Acts. Acts 1, all the way through, you read people moved by the Spirit, healing, signs, and devoted to the Lord by the Spirit. And so this is the beginning of hosting the Holy Spirit, as we read in the book of Acts. And in a sense, we all have at one level hosted Him in whatever way we've allowed Him to be in control. Ooh, we don't like that word. Ooh. Now, you know, you always have free will. But I want Him to take control. And that's what happened with them. They all began to speak in tongues. They were thrown out onto the streets. And they began to be told that by people they looked drunk. Not a nice thing to be spoken of at 9 o'clock in the morning. Especially in that culture, it was dishonorable. And they were almost overtaken by God, the Holy Spirit. Wowzers. Amazing. Let's not lose sight of the will of God for us today. There was a revival in the early 1900s called the Azusa Street Revival. And it was by a handful of people who gathered together to pray and seek God for the baptism, not the puddle. I'm glad we are a tongue-speaking people. I think everybody filled with the Spirit should speak in tongues. They were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. That is the sign, the first sign. But we don't stop there. There's an ocean. There's an ocean. And Azusa Street guys, this handful of believers began to seek God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that essentially was a church-changing, world-changing baptism. How many of you would like to have a church-changing, world-changing baptism in the Holy Spirit? And we know He's here, please. I know that we have everything that we need for life and godliness, but we're definitely not seeing everything. The measure. It's just almost like what is within me needs to kind of fill me so much that God takes over. And Holy Spirit, take over your church. And as the leader of this church, I want to say that. Come, Holy Spirit. Take over. Come, Holy Spirit. But I need to make it personal. Because you can't do it for somebody else. Hello. So many of us pray for other people to be filled. What about you? What about me? Let's make our prayers more personal. Rather than, well, they're not, and they're not, and they this, and over there's that. What about me, Lord? I'm not yet fully immersed. I know you want it, but Lord, do it in me. Azusa Street became a host church. Amen. Kingdom Faith Southwest. Yes. Will we become a host church for total immersion? Yes. Total immersion. Total immersion. And there's nothing to fear. Sometimes people fear the Holy Spirit because they've got the wrong understanding of how good and how wonderful He is. And sometimes He's spoken of as a flood, that He'll come in like a flood. And when we think about floods, particularly with what's going on, with the rain around us and people being flooded, it looks detrimental. But nothing of what He did in the book of Acts was detrimental. So many miracles, healings, restored lives, community was built. It was just incredible what God did. And that was a flood, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so it's not to harm, but to heal. But it does demand that we lose control of our own will and our own homes. As in me. Because I'm a temple, I'm a house for the Holy Spirit. If you were here at the prayer meeting and you've been in a few meetings recently, I'm sure you've picked up that there is a dissatisfaction in me and in us as a leadership with what I've already seen. And as a reaching out to press on to lay hold of everything that Christ has laid hold of me for. And there's a hunger in me for more of God's Spirit to be seen through me. And God always responds to hunger. The rich, the full, go away empty. Do you think that's amazing? Naturally speaking, you can understand it because you can't be bothered to eat anything. You don't need anything else if you go for a meal and you're absolutely full. You don't want to put anything else in. But if you're hungry and dissatisfied, it's where God needs to bring us before He can actually begin to do something new in us. So hunger is a good thing, and dissatisfaction is a good thing, as long as it doesn't lead to negative frustration. But to faith and to eagerness and even a joy that in a few days I'm going to be immersed. I know I have the Holy Spirit, but there's going to be a certain amount of time. If I work with the Spirit, work with God, there's going to be new dimensions of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm going to see God in a new way. I'm going to experience the treasures of Christ. You know, in Him are hidden all the treasures of the Godhead. In Him. And we are in Christ. But let me tell you, I haven't seen or experienced all the treasures yet. And I don't want to stand in the doorway. I want to go in and lay claim to everything that Jesus died for. But you see, I've hindered certain things. I've hindered the Holy Spirit through, I don't know, having my own will, not surrendering things or giving up things he asked me to give up. It's interesting, you know, I'm grateful that he's led me to give up stuff. And if you follow Jesus, you'll be grateful he said to give certain things up. I was talking to somebody last weekend about how I used to ride and I loved horses. And I used to show horses and handle horses. I just think they smell nice. Even the stable, they're mucking out. I don't mind it. I love a horse. You know, they're beautiful creatures. And as I was talking at the weekend with somebody, they were saying, well, you ought to get back into it. You ought to go back to riding and spending all your time, you know. And I said, you know, years ago, it was something that I had to give up for the call. Because I can't follow Jesus devoted and have all of that. It's not that that's wrong, but it wasn't right for what God wanted to do with me. And now that I've given up, I don't even want to. I love what I do more than what I gave up. Because if you lose your life, you will find it. Jesus says if you deny yourself, you will actually benefit in resurrection life, in the life of the Spirit. So whatever we give up, brilliant. Because we're going to gain him. And you know, there are times where the Lord needs to deal with each one of us and saying, I want that out of your life. I want you to cut down the TV. I want you to cut down your constant desire for leisure and experiences and seek me. Oh, I felt a little resistance from somebody there. Because, you know, we're not pleasure seekers, we're God seekers. Money doesn't have us. Jesus does. And so it's for the joy that we actually allow him to work in us a surrender so that he can fill what we empty. It's wonderful, isn't it? These things of the Spirit. Before God does something, anything new, he gets his people praying. He gets his people praying. And I believe we are as a church, and I'm excited because it isn't just us. I think it's worldwide. That God is calling and summoning his people to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit as it is written. That your spirit will be poured out on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your men, old men will dream dreams and have visions. Even your daughters and sons will prophesy. That there will be an anointing of God come upon the church that will completely transform everything like it did in the early church. And so if we're complacent, I believe today God wants to nudge you into a little bit stirred up that this isn't it. And that praying is going to become part of your life in a new way. As Jesus taught us to pray, ask and you will receive. Seek. How many of us seek for very long? None of us like that seeking thing. We like the finding. But it takes time to seek. Seek and you will find. Knock. That persistent, I'm not giving up. You know, I love Jacob's prayer. I love the prayer of Jacob. He couldn't do anything about his own circumstances, so he kind of got rid of the wife and all the kids. I'm not got rid of. I just moved them off to another side and got alone with God. And I want to tell you that men and women pray. Men and and women pray. It's not just for the ladies. It's for the church. The church is to be a praying church. And Jacob wrestled with God. And God said to him, let me go because the day's breaking. And Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. That's the kind of prayer Jesus was talking about, seeking and knocking. Laying hold of God and His goodness and His will and saying, I won't let you go until you bless me. I want to see what I read here. I don't want to be part of a church or be a disciple of Jesus without this immersion in the Holy Spirit that transforms me and everything around me. The puddle is over. It's time for immersion. In Genesis 26, how are you doing? Are you being stirred up? Just a few. Just a few of you. Don't be left behind. Don't be left out. Put yourself right on track and get praying. Pray, 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 pray. Get praying, come to prayer meetings. Come to the momentum nights. We've got some nights we've set aside to meet with God together and pray. Because we are wanting the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And in Genesis 26, it says here, verse 18, Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham had died. And he gave them the same names as his father had given them. Without water, and this is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, there is no life. And Abraham had dug this well in his time and generation. And I believe the early church fathers dug this well in prayer. They were deeply devoted to prayer, not just at the beginning, but all the way through the move of God that happened in the book of Acts. There was a dynamic of prayer that brought the power and the immersion of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit kept filling them. The Holy Spirit came again in Acts 4. And that's only what we read in this book. There were many prayer meetings where they prayed and the Holy Spirit filled them again. And I believe we need to get back to the early church fathers who found this water that was church-changing and world-changing. Amen. I'm kind of raising the bar today, but I'm doing it, I trust, with grace. And I trust your spirit's going, yeah, yeah, yeah. I really want to be a part of this and throw myself in to all that God wants to do. They redug the wells the Philistines had stopped up. And you know, well, this well that Isaac dug and redug, basically, already had water in it. The church already have the Holy Spirit in us, don't we? And He's the one we're seeking. And the stones, I mean, the enemy, of course, he doesn't want you to pray and seek God. He doesn't want you to find fresh anointing. He doesn't want you to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. So He'll fill your life with all rubbish. And He'll fill your life with so much activity you haven't got time to dig. And isn't it if I was to say the enemy of this generation is time for God. And I believe I'm speaking by the Spirit, so I'm completely off where I was going. The enemy is time, devoted time, time where you're given to seeking God in a new way. Not just your quick flip prayer. not fitting him into your diary, which is already busy, but allowing God to actually take over your house. And these guys, you know, in the early church, they sought God, they prayed. They devoted themselves together to pray. I believe if you're part of what God is doing, church prayer meetings are part of what you do. And if, obviously there are seasons in life where certain parents and people just can't get here, they're working away, look, grace. But God knows whether you're able to be here or not. I'm just saying. If God wants you to pray, I'm sure he'll find a way. If you're willing. And to redig the old wells means we've got to come back to really seeking God for something fresh personally. Haven't we? To find that water again that is pure, that is holy, and that doesn't just want to stay in the well of my spirit. Doesn't just want to stay on the inside of my spirit. He wants to well up, fill up, because he wants to come out of me, that river. Because I believe once we start digging, we get a river. Once we start drinking, rivers of living water will flow. And that's the life of the spirit. And it's hard to redig your prayer life. Isn't it? Well, let me talk for myself then. It's hard to redig your prayer life because you just do what you do. If you're very Pentecostal, you're praying out in tongues for 10 minutes and think that's it. If you're very cerebral, you'll just pray on the go, according to your circumstances, your mind, what you're thinking. Or if you're kind of like used to daily devotions and you're a disciplined disciple of Jesus, you're used to the certain pattern you get into, aren't you? I get used to me. I'm sure God gets quite bored after a while saying, this isn't as exciting as I intended it to be. And it's just your little forms and little methods that are stopping me from taking over. And I just think we just need a bit of a shake-up of our prayer life, individually and corporately. A shake-up to wake up to God and to allow him to begin to fill us again with fresh water. The power of the Holy Spirit. And without the Spirit, we will not reign in life. We are to reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. We need the Word and the Spirit. All Spirit you blow up, all Word you dry up. So we need both. We don't leave the Word. The Spirit and the Word work together. They're married. But we need to get back to these old ways that are to be new to us. And to once again find the life and power of the presence of the Holy Spirit at work in us, immersing us in God. And this life will then transform us. And once Jacob prayed like that and he didn't let go, do you know what happened? His walk was slightly different. He walked with a limp. And do you know what? I don't mind if I limp a bit. I just want to walk changed. I want God to change me. Because he's God. But Jacob got the blessing because he wouldn't let go. And I believe the early church got the outpouring of the Spirit because they stayed in the upper room constantly praying. They showed Jesus their intention to host the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So, not at all what I thought I was going to say this morning. But I think I've said enough. Do you feel stirred? Are you sensing a stirring in you for the greater things of God? The things not yet seen, eye has not yet seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for those who love Him. But God will reveal them to us by His Spirit. And as we seek, we will find. Praise the Lord. Let's stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log on to our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.